If you'd like to turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. And I'm going to be sharing from Luke chapter 24 this evening. This evening, as we look at Luke chapter 24, we see that Jesus was at first unrecognized by the disciples on the road to Emmaus. When I look at this story in the Bible of the resurrection day, I'm reminded of a story in relation to one of the queens of England. I'm not sure which queen it was, but the story goes that she was out walking very early in the morning. She was away from the palace. She was by herself. It started to rain, and so she sought for shelter at the nearest cottage. She wanted more than shelter. She actually wanted an umbrella to get herself home. So she knocked on the door, and it was, as I mentioned, it was early in the morning. She didn't introduce herself, and she simply said, "May I borrow an umbrella?" The lady who answered the door was rather annoyed that someone had come to the door at that early hour of the morning, but she said, "Just a minute." She slammed the door. She was gone for a moment, and she returned bringing the rattiest umbrella that she could find. She pushed it out the door and gave it and said, "Here." The Queen of England thanked her and went on with that ragged umbrella that had holes. To the lady's surprise, the very next day, the entire escort of the Queen arrived at her front door. One of the escorts knocked on the door and returned the umbrella to the woman, saying, "Madam, the Queen of England thanks you." And he walked away. She was heard to mutter, if I'd only known who she was. Royalty had knocked at a door, totally unexpected. Can you comprehend the embarrassment that lady would have had? Now, it was very unusual for the Queen of England to knock on the door, very unusual, but it was not impossible. When we think of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they had an unexpected visitor, and that unexpected visitor was the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Totally unexpected to these two followers. Why? Well, they're walking away from Jerusalem on the first Easter Sunday. They're walking away from the holy city discouraged. As they walked along that dusty road, their hearts were burdened. Jesus, the one that they'd followed, had been condemned to death and crucified. They had hoped that he would redeem Israel, but now he was gone. Their hopes and dreams were shattered at the loss of the one they loved. They walk on that road discouraged and despondent after the events of the crucifixion and the burial of the Lord Jesus. Verse 13 in Luke 24 says, "Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked of all the things which had happened." What's interesting, verse 14, Jesus and the events in Jerusalem were central to their conversation. Verse 15 says, "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." The disciples were depressed as they walked along. Look at verse 17. "And he said to them," that's Jesus, "what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Jesus noticed that they were sad. Jesus cared for his disciples. You know, the Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. A great promise in the book of Hebrews. These disciples had been in his presence. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard him speak. But now they are despondent disciples, disappointed with what had happened, and they have burdened hearts. The dreams of these two disciples had been dashed. Look at verse 18. "Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? So they said to him, The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Verse 19 there again, it says, And he said to them, What things? And they explained to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They were hoping. They were hoping that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. Do you know there are many people today that start on the road as disciples and they walk away from the Lord Jesus, despondent. These disciples were hoping that Jesus would redeem Israel. They were hoping that the Messiah to come would free them of the shackles of the Romans, that the Messiah to come would bring prosperity to the nation, that the Messiah to come would lift that nation up again once as before, as King David had done. But Jesus, the one that they'd pinned their hopes in, had died on the cruel cross of Calvary. Do you know there are disciples that are still disappointed like these disciples? They find disappointment in the Lord Jesus. And I'll explain a couple of things to you about that now. Do you know, overseas, I'm not going to name him, but there's a smiling preacher overseas. He's on the TV. And he's written a book called Your Best Life Now. And he has many, and they say he has the largest church in the United States. And I believe that many of his congregation are looking for their best life now. Is that true for Christians, that we get our best life now? If we have faith in Jesus, are we going to get the blessed material? Are we going to be blessed materially beyond measure on this earth? No. Our best life is yet to come. I turned on the TV early this morning and there was a preacher on the TV. His name was Creflo Dollar. Don't know if you've ever heard of Creflo Dollar. And last month, his website was appealing for $60 million so that Creflo, the minister, could get a new plane. They wanted to buy a Gulfstream G650, which has a price tag of $65 million. It'll transport the pastor and his wife and some of the church members around the globe to spread the gospel. CNN.com wrote an article about this, about the appeal for the plane. And CNN.com says, Prosperity gospel is a theology that promises wealth and health to those who tithe 10% of their income to the church. I don't know if you've done the sums, but I mean, if you invested $60 million, I'm sure he'd get more than enough economy class tickets to fly him around the world, don't you think? And his family, and his entourage, and whoever he wanted. Did Jesus Christ come to give us the best of everything materially on this earth? This is what the Bible says about Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you through his poverty might become rich. The Bible said of the Lord Jesus that Jesus said, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. D- Did Jesus get the best life then? He was materially poor so that we might be spiritually rich. Did the Apostle Paul get the best life now? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11:26. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Was the best life then for the Apostle Paul? No, he looked to the life to come. There are some disciples of Jesus that have fed the prosperity promises of their prosperity preachers, and they walk away from Christ when Jesus does not meet their material expectations. These disciples, Luke 24:21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Their hope was in the redemption of Israel. Their hope was a Messiah that would defeat the Romans. I saw an ad in a Sydney paper when I was a pastor down there. And the ad, I think, was in the Herald, and it said, "Come and receive your miracle." It was a big ad advertising a fake healer. Not a faith healer, a fake healer. A man that claims that he's a Christian, that goes around the world ripping off Christians and people and claiming that he can do healing. I went there to watch the fake healer work, to see what he did. I watched this man go cranky on his attendants because they hadn't put out the envelopes, enough envelopes in the seats in the entertainment centre for him to collect his collection. And he did that on stage, very angry with his workers. You know, there are people today that walk away from the Lord Jesus because they don't get healing. There are people that walk away from the Lord Jesus because he doesn't meet their material expectations. There are people that walk away from the Lord Jesus because he doesn't fix their marriage. There are people that walk away from the Lord Jesus because there's great sadness in their life. They've got great grief. And instead of trusting him through that, they walk away. What about the Apostle Paul? Did you know that Paul prayed? There are some preachers today that will say, if you have enough faith, you'll be healed. And they present a Jesus that will heal everyone and everyone's needs. What about the Apostle Paul? You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't healed. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, he says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." The Apostle Paul had what is described as a thorn in the flesh. That's what he described it as. And he said to me, that's Jesus, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." There is a man in the Bible, a man that Paul knew. His name was Trophimus, if I've got it right. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 19, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I left in Miletus sick. Do your uttermost to come before winter." The Apostle Paul didn't heal everyone that was in his presence. The Apostle Paul didn't get healing himself, but the Apostle Paul was a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and how the Apostle Paul felt didn't in any way dampen his relationship with the living Saviour. Disciples walk away from Jesus even today, despondent and in despair, because they find that Jesus did not give them all that they want. How many have walked away from Jesus because they had hoped that he would do something? The disciples had hoped that he would redeem Israel. How many have walked away from Jesus because they had hoped that he would do something? Today there are people on Emmaus roads that have believed that Jesus is a mighty prophet, but they turn away from him because their hopes have not been filled by Jesus. He hasn't done for them the things that they have wanted. They had hoped that Jesus would save them from many other things apart from their sins. Many are like these two disciples. They're frustrated because Jesus hasn't met the need that they wanted him to meet. Jesus, for many, hasn't changed their world according to their own personal plan. So Jesus becomes past tense in their hearts. The disciples are walking away from the holy city, the city of God, and they're disappointed in Jesus. They're disappointed in his death. They know about his resurrection, but they're disappointed because they themselves have not seen the risen Lord. Well, Jesus doesn't leave them in that position, does he? Jesus comes. He comes to them and he opens the word to them. You see, Jesus knew that it was not his mission to just come and redeem Israel from the Romans. His mission was to come and redeem all mankind from sin. And that's what he did when he went to Calvary and he died on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives, the King James puts it greatly, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. The Lord Jesus came from heaven to redeem each of us. Look down a little bit further there and you'll see in verse 24, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus did a 7-mile Bible study with them. From Jerusalem on to Emmaus is about 7 miles. And so Jesus opened the scriptures as they walked with him. I think they would have had the greatest Old Testament sermon in all of history as Jesus opened the scriptures concerning himself. I wonder what scriptures Jesus would have turned to. I'm guessing that he would have taken them to what Moses had written, that he would have taken them to Genesis 3 verse 15 and showed them the first promise of the Redeemer. I'm guessing that Jesus possibly would have taken them to Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham was called to sacrifice his son on the limestone mountain, Moriah, one of the mountains of Moriah there, and telling them that Isaac, there was a substitute for him, a ram that was caught in the thicket. And maybe Jesus said that ram was actually representing me, that I would become the Lamb of God to die for the sins of the world. Maybe he would have taken them to the story of Joseph, where he showed them that Joseph was betrayed by his own family. His own family rejected him. And maybe he said that Joseph, who was loved by his father, rejected by his own, is a picture of me. Maybe he would have taken them to Exodus and showed them how the people of Israel were saved by the angel of death if they looked by faith to the Passover lamb and applied the blood. Moses and the prophets he would have shared from. Maybe he took them to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53, and maybe he said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Maybe he said, that actually was Isaiah writing about me. that I would be despised. Maybe you would take them to Job, where Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Maybe he took them to Zechariah, where Zechariah said, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Jesus shared with them from the Old Testament scriptures. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, verse 27 says, he expanded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. A 7-mile Bible study on the Old Testament with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great walk that would have been. I go walking in the morning and I really enjoy that. I try and do it about 4 mornings a week. But imagine walking with the Lord Jesus himself and Jesus revealing himself to each of those disciples. You know, it's possible today to walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus as we meditate on his word, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We too can have a Bible study with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they didn't understand, really, until Jesus opened the scriptures, that the Lord Jesus had come to redeem them. 1 Peter 3 verse 18 says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. First Jesus opened the scriptures to them, then he opened their eyes so that they recognised him. You know, that's how I became a Christian, and I'm sure many of you here is the same, how you became a Christian. What's the first thing that happens? Someone opens the scriptures to you. Someone opens the scriptures and God opens your eyes so that you understand what you read. Do you want people to see Jesus? Jesus wanted these disciples to know him. Let me give you just a couple of points. Love people enough to go with them in their unbelief. That's what Jesus did. He walked with them in their unbelief. You know, people that come to church today that aren't Christians, most of those people are going to come in total unbelief. We live in a society today where the majority of people, I would say, 40 and under, have never been to Sunday school in Australia. So those people are in unbelief. A lot of those people have walked this life for 30 or 40 years and they've never walked with Jesus because they've never been taught about the Lord Jesus. Their parents have not put them in Sunday school. They've been not in youth groups, a lot of them. And so they're walking in unbelief. And we need to take time with these people because it might take a long time for these people to come to Christ. We need to walk with people on their road of difficulty. There are many people today in Australian society that are in difficult situations. If you're a school teacher, you will know that the majority of your kids today do not have two parents in their home. It's a minority of kids today that have a stable family background. We need to walk with people on their road of difficulty. We need to talk with them on their Emmaus road. And we need to open the scriptures so that they might see Jesus. Jesus didn't come condemning them. He came and he walked with them and he opened the word of God. He knew that they were slow to understand, but he came and he walked with them. The Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Verse 29 says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. That's where the hymn comes from, abide with me. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Their unrecognized friend was their unrecognized saviour until they saw him in the word. There it was, from burdened hearts to burning hearts, as they saw who Jesus really was. Verse 33 says, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. That very hour, they who walked away from Jerusalem walked back to Jerusalem to witness, because they discovered who Jesus really was. He was their Redeemer and their Saviour and their friend. Verse 35 says, and they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. There are people, we should be like these disciples. We come to know the Lord Jesus, and our heart's burden should be to tell other people. Tell other people of the Saviour that has come for us. Tell other people of the Saviour that walked on our Emmaus roads, our roads of difficulties, our roads of trials, our roads of sorrow. Tell them of a Saviour that loves each of them. From burdened hearts to burning hearts, as they discovered Jesus, as he revealed the word to each of them. Father, we pray this evening that we would be like these disciples. Disciples that once they've discovered that Jesus is risen, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is in fact the Redeemer, that they have a burning heart to go and tell others. Lord, we pray for each of us in the church that know Jesus as Saviour. Give us a burning heart for the lost. Give us a heart for burdened people. Help us to walk on their journeys, on their Emmaus roads, until they come to see Jesus. Help us to reveal the Word of God in such a way that their hearts are captured for Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.